Good morning, everyone. You have your Bible with you this morning. Go ahead and check it out and go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be referring to that chapter. In fact, you may want to put a Bible marker there because that will be the primary text that we are going to be considering this morning from God's Word. As you turn there in your Bible and get ready to study, before you start the clock on me, let me just take a moment or two to say a few things. First, I want to say it is a blessing to be able to worship our Father who is in heaven. It's a blessing on this beautiful day to worship a God who loved us so much that he gave us his best when we were at our worst. May the glory and praise and honor be to God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Also want to take a moment or two to recognize the fathers in the room. I know our country recognizes this day as a special day for fathers. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers. As someone who's never even seen my biological father, I have a special place in my heart for good men who take care of their children, who work hard, who raise their children to respect others, and most importantly, respect God. So may God bless all the fathers here. Hope you get you some Outback or something today. To enjoy your very special day. Also want to say that my family and I, once again, are very grateful and very humbled to be here with this wonderful church. Thank you again to the shepherds of this church. We appreciate you so much. You've been so good to us that we could never repay you for how good the shepherds have been to us over the past few months. We are truly grateful. Also grateful for the whole church. All the love you've shown us, the prayers, how patient you've been. And I especially want to say that we were very thankful to walk into our new home and see so much work had been done by so many people. I just have no words to describe how that made us feel. It just made us feel like we were home. And we're just so thankful for what you did for us. Words just can't describe how grateful we are for all the folks here have done for us so far. But that's enough about me now. Let's get to the business at hand. And the business at hand is a study from the Word of God. And so I want to direct your attention to the verses that Brother Trevor read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to begin by suggesting to you that those are some very interesting and intriguing verses in the Word of God. In fact, I want to suggest that out of all the things that the Apostle Paul writes in the Bible, to me, what he writes there has to be among the most interesting. It has to be among the most intriguing. And so I want you to notice carefully what Paul says in those verses. I want you to notice carefully how in those verses we just read, the Apostle Paul is telling us something very personal about himself. He is actually telling us that at that point in his life, he was dealing with a very personal problem. He was going through a very personal hardship. He was going through a very personal period of suffering. In fact, I want you to notice how he specifically says that during that time in his life, he was suffering from a thorn. He says he had a thorn in the flesh. He says he had a thorn that was tormenting him. Some of your translations say that he had a thorn that was buffeting him. Question, what does that mean? What does Paul mean when he says that he had a thorn that was tormenting him? What does he mean when he says that he had a thorn that was buffeting him? Well, let me just say that when Paul says that he had a thorn that was tormenting him, he's not referring to those little stickers that you may have prick your finger when you touch a cactus in your front yard. He's not talking about a little prick in his finger or even in his foot. Instead, the language there is implying the idea of a stake piercing through him. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling us that at that time in his life, he had something that was bringing him immense pain and agony. He had something that was really irritating him and even pummeling and beating him down, if you will. Paul says he had a thorn in his life that was causing him a lot of problems and a lot of misery. And let me just ask you, do you have that right now? I mean, as you sit there in the pew this morning, do you have a thorn? Have you ever had a thorn before? I'm willing to guess that for probably everybody in the room this morning, you've had that before, right? I'm willing to guess that for nearly everybody in this room, like the Apostle Paul, you too have had to battle thorns. You too have had to battle things that were pummeling you and even beating you down in your life. In fact, maybe while you were battling your thorns, maybe you did like a lot of people do in our time today, and that is maybe you asked the question of why. Why am I going through this? Why am I suffering with this? Why am I battling this thorn in my life? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. It is not uncommon for people, even Christians, to ask questions like that when they start battling thorns. And I want to suggest to you that I believe that many of the answers we have to those questions are found right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find a lot of answers from God that we need to always keep in the forefront of our mind when we start battling thorns. And so this morning in our study, what I want us to do is I want us to learn some things from this thorn that Paul had. In fact, I want us to consider four lessons that we can learn from Paul's thorn. And the first lesson is this. First, I think from Paul's thorn, we see that sometimes we're going to get them. Sometimes we are going to get thorns. Before we go anywhere else this morning, this is something that I really think we need to emphasize. This is something that I think we really need to understand. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand just because we are disciples, just because we are Christians, just because we are members of the Lord's church, that doesn't mean that we won't get thorns. That doesn't mean that we won't have problems. That doesn't mean that we won't go through trials and tribulations and periods of suffering in this life. God never makes that promise to us in the Bible. God never promises us in His Word that as His people, we won't experience thorns. In fact, on the contrary, throughout the Bible, God tells us that as His people, sometimes we are going to get them. Sometimes we are going to suffer. Sometimes we are going to deal with thorns. Sometimes we are going to have problems and trials in this life. In fact, I want you to notice how not even the great Apostle Paul was exempt from getting a thorn. I want you to notice how even though Paul was an apostle, even though he was a special ambassador of Jesus Christ, even though he had seen the risen Savior on the Damascus Road, and he traveled around the world preaching the gospel and establishing local churches all over the place, even though Paul did so much good in the kingdom, he still had to battle thorns, didn't he? He still had to deal with problems. He still had to deal with suffering in his life. Not even the great Apostle Paul was exempt from thorns. And from those who may wonder what exactly Paul's thorn was, let me just say that is a question that has been asked by Bible students for a very long time. Let me just say for about 2,000 years, Bible students have been asking the question of what exactly was Paul's thorn? What exactly was this problem that he was dealing with? People have been asking that for a long time, and a host of different answers have been given in regards to that question. For example, some folks say that this thorn Paul had was maybe some health issue he was dealing with. Maybe he had bad eyesight. Others have said that this thorn represented the intense level of persecution he faced because he preached the gospel. Others have said that maybe it was some sinful temptation he was struggling with. And still others have said that maybe this thorn represented depression or anxiety that he was facing at this time in his life. So many different answers have been given throughout the last 2,000 years in regards to what exactly was this thorn. But here's the truth about the matter, brothers and sisters. When it comes to what exactly Paul's thorn was, the truth is we don't know. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn was because guess what? He doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us what exactly what his thorn was. Anything we try to talk about this morning, bring up, it's going to be mere speculation. Anything we try to debate in the lobby this morning, it's going to be mere speculation. Anything you may read in some commentary by some smart person, it's going to be mere speculation. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn was because he doesn't tell us. And I'm going to tell you, I think that's a good thing. In fact, I think that's a great thing. I think it is a great thing that Paul doesn't tell us what exactly what his thorn was, because you know what that does? That cripples us. One thing we can't do this morning is we can't sit here and compare our thorns to his. We can't sit here and say, well, you know, Paul may have had that problem, but that doesn't begin to compare to the problems that I've had. Or Paul may have been sick with this, but I've been sick with that. Or Paul may have been discouraged about that, but that's nothing compared to the stuff that's discouraged me in my life. You see, because Paul doesn't tell us exactly what his thorn was, one thing we can't do is sit up here and compare our thorns to his. All we can do is accept the fact that at the end of the day, we're going to get them. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how rich or poor we may be. It doesn't matter how long we've been Christians. It doesn't matter if we're old or young. It doesn't matter what stage we're at in life. It doesn't matter who we are or where we come from. We're all going to battle those thorns from time to time. It could be a health thorn. It could be a cancer thorn. It could be a diabetes thorn. It could be an arthritis thorn. It could be a financial thorn. It could be a personal or spiritual struggle thorn. It could be a depression thorn. It could be a persecution for your faith thorn. It could be a marriage thorn. It could be an unfaithful child thorn. It could be an unforgiving heart or a bitterness thorn. It could even be a somebody getting on your nerves thorn. I mean, maybe right now you got somebody on your job. You got a thorn or somebody on your job, and somebody on your job is getting on your nerves every single day, and you this close to telling them like it is. I mean, you this close from telling them some stuff that you know is not Christ-like. Maybe you got that kind of thorn right now in your life. See, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we come from. And it doesn't matter if I sit up here and give you 50 examples. The point remains the same. The point is, no Christian, no disciple is exempt from getting thorns. Paul wasn't exempt from getting a thorn. And not even the Lord Jesus Christ was exempt from getting thorns. One of the things we learn from the Apostle Paul is even though we are God's people, we're going to get thorns. We're going to have problems in this life. But even though we get our thorns, the second thing we need to understand that when it comes to our thorns, instead of our thorns drawing us further and further away from God, you know what they should do? They should actually draw us closer to God. They should actually draw us closer to our Father who is in heaven. I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to reread for the sake of emphasis verses 7 and 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 7. In verse 7, Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Verse 8, concerning this, that is, concerning this thorn, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. I want you to notice a couple of things from what Paul says in those verses. First, I want you to notice where Paul points to blame for his thorn. Do you see it? I want you to notice how when it came to placing blame for his thorn, notice how Paul didn't do like a lot of people do today. He didn't blame God for it, did he? He didn't say, God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you give me this thorn? I served you faithfully. Notice Paul didn't blame God for his thorn. Instead of blaming God, who did he blame according to the text? He blamed the devil. He blamed Satan. He says Satan was the one behind this thorn. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I find that to be very interesting. I find that to be very interesting because the truth is, in our time, especially today, for so many people, the devil is the last one they want to blame for anything. I mean, think about it. When is the last time you heard anyone, even a Christian, blame the devil for anything? I don't know about you, but for many of the people I meet, even for many Christians, they'll be quick to blame God for their problems before they will the evil one. They'll be quick to blame the one who loved him so much that he took care of their greatest problem 2,000 years ago when he gave him their son to give him his son to die on the cross. They will blame their Father in heaven before they blame the one who wants to see their soul condemned to hell. So often, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves blaming God before our thorns, before we will blame the devil. But notice, that's not what Paul did. Notice how when it came to his thorn, Paul didn't blame God for his problem. In fact, instead of blaming God for his problem, he actually drew closer to God. He actually prayed to God 3 times, and he asked God, or rather he begged God to remove his thorn. He begged God to help him with this suffering he was facing. Paul didn't blame God for his problems. Question is, what about us? What about me? What about you? I mean, what do we do when we start getting our thorns from time to time? How do we react to that? How do we respond to that? I mean, who do we blame for our thorns? Do we blame God? Do we get frustrated with God? Do we get angry with God? Or do we, like Paul, put our faith and trust in God? Do we, like Paul, put our love in God, and we go to God, and we turn to God, and we beg God to use his power, however he sees fit to remove our thorn? Is that what we do? I want to show you some scriptures to consider when it comes to this issue. First, consider what Peter said to the people of God in the first century, Christians who were being persecuted in the first century. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all, not some. He said, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. Put that with what you find in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Where there the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, regards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice how here in these verses, we see exactly what we have to do when we start battling thorns. Notice how, based on what the Word of God tells us here, whenever we start facing thorns, whenever we start facing problems, instead of turning away from God and getting mad at God, what we need to do is turn to God. What we need to do is lean on God and depend on God and pray to God and even beg him to help us and deliver us. We need to understand that prayer is not designed to be some last-ditch effort we put into practice because we don't know what else to do. It's not designed to be like the Hail Mary pass at the end of a football game. No, according to the Bible, prayer is to be the mechanism we use to pour our hearts out to God. It's to be the mechanism we use to show dependence in God and trust in God and beg God to deliver us because we know he cares about everything we're facing. That's exactly what Paul did when he faced a thorn in his life. From the Apostle Paul, we learn that we're going to get thorns. But even though we're going to get thorns, instead of allowing those thorns to draw us further from God, we need to allow them to draw us closer to God. And even though we draw closer to God because we need him to help us with our thorns, a third lesson I think we see is God will not always remove our thorns. That's right, brothers and sisters. God, even though we need to go to him and ask him to remove the thorns, we also need to understand that God would not always do that. And that's right here in the text. Go back to 2 Corinthians 12. I want to go back to verse 9, the beginning of verse 9, please. Remember, after Paul told us that he prayed to God on 3 separate times to remove his thorn. In verse 9, God responded to Paul like this. He said what? My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. I want you to notice two very important things from this text that we just read here in the Word of God. I want you to notice how when it came to the Apostle Paul and his request that he made to God, notice what God said. Notice how God responded to Paul's request with a no. He says, no, I won't remove it. Even though this is an apostle praying about it. Even though this is an apostle going to God three separate times and begging him to remove his thorn. God says, I'm not going to take it away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I mean, what in the world are we to make of that? I mean, what in the world are we to take away from the fact that God said no to the Apostle Paul? God said no to a prayer request from a man who had dedicated his life to preaching the gospel throughout the world? What are we to do with something like that? Well, I think from this we learn a couple of things that we really need to consider. First, I think from this we learn something important about God, don't we? I think from this we see that God is not like the big grandpa who just can't say no, is he? God is not like the genie in a bottle. While we do need to go to God and ask him to help us and deliver us and bless us from time to time, we need to understand that God will not always give us what we want. He's not going to say yes to everything we ask for in prayer. From this, we learn something about God, but not only do we learn something about God, a second thing we learn is we also learn something about prayer, don't we? From this we see that again, while we do need to go to God and pray to him when we start having problems, while we do that, we need to do something else. We also need to trust God. We also need to trust that however he responds to our prayer request, it's going to be in our best interest. It's going to be for our good. It's going to be for our benefit, even if it doesn't work out like we want it to. When you go in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, please, I want to show you some in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, some of my favorite verses in the Bible. These verses are typically referred to as the verses for any season. You can read them at a wedding. You can read them at a funeral. You can read them before you go to work in the morning. Wherever stage you're at in life, these verses are verses you're going to need. Proverbs 3, verse 5. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding and all, not some, and all your ways acknowledge him. And he'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Notice how here in these verses we find the key to spiritual success. Notice how here in these verses we find the key to staying on that narrow path that leads to heaven. Here we find the key to developing and maintaining a relationship with God. Notice how if we're really going to please God in every aspect of our lives, then we got to trust him. We got to trust him when life is going good for us and it's full of roses and sunshine days. And we also got to trust him when life is going bad for us and we're suffering and we got these thorns and we pray to God and we ask him to help us. But he doesn't give us what we desire. No matter where we are in life, brothers and sisters, we got to trust that God's way is always the best way. We got to trust that our Father knows everything. He knows what is best for us. In fact, that brings us to the last thing I want to say this morning about this point from Paul's thorn. And that is, fourthly, even though God will not always remove our thorns, we also need to understand that God won't do that sometimes because he knows our thorns can help us. Oh, yes, you read that right. Believe it or not, but God can actually use our thorns to help us. While he's certainly bigger than our thorns, right? While he's certainly capable of removing any and every thorn we have in our lives, sometimes he'll let them stay there because he wants to use them to help us. He wants to use them to help us go to heaven and be more like Jesus. Someone says, where is that in the text? We'll go back to the text of 2 Corinthians 12. And I want to reread that section again that Brother Trevor read for us, only for the sake of emphasis, please. And pay attention. If you didn't the first time, really pay attention to the language. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul says this, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Ponder those verses for just a moment or two. Let me say that to really understand what Paul is saying here, we have to take a step back and understand the overall context in which these verses are found. You see, here in the context of these verses, and you got to take it back up to the first verse of the chapter. Here in the context, the Apostle Paul is defending his apostleship. He's defending his apostleship against false teachers. And one of the things he does to defend his apostleship is he talks about a time when he was able to see this amazing vision. He actually talks about a time when he was caught up into the third heaven and he was able to hear words that men on this earth are not able to say. Paul says that there was a time in his life when he was given that amazing privilege from God, but ladies and gentlemen, with that privilege came a serious danger. But Paul says that with every special revision and special revelation he received from God, there also came the danger of pride. But Paul says that if he was not careful, because of all he had seen and all he had done as an apostle, he could be filled with pride. He could be filled with an attitude of superiority when comparing himself to other Christians. Paul says that that pitfall was out there for him. But oddly enough, God helped him avoid that pitfall by refusing to take his thorn away. You see, by refusing to take his thorn away, you know what God was doing for Paul? He was helping him. He was helping him spiritually. He was actually using that thorn to make Paul more dependent upon him and to keep him humble. That's what Paul says he eventually realized and understood. And guess what? He was okay with that. He was content with that. He was satisfied with that. In fact, he even says he celebrated that. He says that instead of focusing on all the bad things that came from his thorn, what he decided to do was to focus on the good things. He decided to focus on how God was actually using his thorn to help him be more like Jesus and go to heaven. Paul saw the good from a thorn. The question is, what about us? The question is, how do we view our thorns? I mean, do we allow our thorns to help us or destroy us? Do we allow them to build us up and make us better or tear us down? Do we see the benefit from our thorns or do we only see the bad from them? Do we see how God can actually use thorns to help us be more like his son? For example, do we see how that financial thorn we may have, it may actually be there to help us become better stewards of our money? Or maybe it's there to help us become more grateful when God blesses us with something better in the future. Do we see how that coworker who gets on our nerves thorn, that may actually be there to help us become more patient and long-suffering as disciples? Do we see how that health problem, thorn we may have, that may actually be there to help us develop endurance? Or maybe it's there to help us learn how to lean on God more. Maybe it's there to help us better understand and appreciate our mortality and how we're not self-sufficient, but we need God. In fact, we need God at every time in our lives. And when it comes to that internal family thorn we may have, do we allow that thorn to teach us how to become more forgiving and more compassionate, and maybe even learn how to love people who may be hard to love, like the kind of love Jesus demonstrated for us when he died on the cross? There's a lot of examples I could give you, but here's the point. The point is, while thorns may be painful, while they may hurt, while they may be irritating, while they may just beat us down and bring us down in life, God can still use them. God can still use them to make us better people and help us go to heaven. And so, with that being said, let me just close by asking you, do you have a thorn? You got a thorn? If so, what's your thorn? Do you by any chance have the thorn of sin in your life right now? If you do, then I want to say this. I want to say that out of all the thorns you may have in your life, and we could talk about this morning, if you have the thorn of sin this morning, I can guarantee you that that is one thorn God will take away today if you ask him to. If you're willing to lean on him and trust him and come to him on his terms, he will remove that thorn right here and right now. And so if there's someone here who believes in Jesus and you're ready to repent of sin, confess Jesus as the Lord and be immersed in the waters of baptism, or if you are a child of God who has left the Lord and sin is just wearing you down right now, whatever spiritual needs you may have, whoever is struggling with the thorn of sin, God is ready to deliver you right here and right now. Let's stand. Let's sing together.